Come on, let's jump into the Word today. Let's pray real quick. Father, thank you for the Word. The Word is amazing. It's got the power to change our lives. We got some feedback up here, guys, in the middle of my prayer that we don't want to go on. Thank you. The Word of God's got power. Can I stop right there and just say something? You know when you pray, like what I just did right then, maybe somebody goes, you were praying and then you stopped, and that kind of like ticked off God. Well, you know, what I think about prayer is praying just like I'm talking to you, and I got interrupted by somebody else, and I got to address that while you still understand that. You do it all the time. I do it all the time. Right? So I'm talking to God about something, certain things, even while I'm talking to God, and something else comes to my mind, and I'll say, oh yeah, what about this? And I think God's okay with that. But we'll keep talking to God and talking to you. Is that all right? Huh? So let's just, Father, we just thank you for this Word today. Thank you for our church today. Thank you for the power of communion today. Thank you for your name today being displayed. Thank you for the entrance of the Word that penetrates our heart, brings change forever and ever. Can you say amen and amen? Amen. I've been challenged in my heart for the last several weeks, and want to talk about today, we'll just barely get into it just for time. We want to get you out, and we're just really conscious of time, especially with having a later meeting today for some of you. But really challenged in my heart concerning the thought of growth. Growth. I've always been a person that has desired to grow. I don't really like to stay the same. You know, maybe somebody says that, you know, years ago they didn't identify it, that that's an ADD kid or ADHD kid, that you're always kind of, you know, and then needing something else and needing something else and easily dissatisfied. I don't really think that's the thing for a lot of us in the room or any of us in the room. But I really believe that there's got to be a deepening in our heart to say, I believe God wants me to grow. I want to be committed to growing. I don't want to stay the same. I want to have an ever-deepening relationship with God. I want to be used by God more. What I see in the Word of God, I want working in my life. If you're telling me that God did this and I want it for me, I believe I'm talking to people that want to grow. We lived for 13 years in Canada before we moved down here in 2001. We pastored a church up there. The culture of the community was totally different than down here. 8,000 people in town. 8,000. Most all the guys worked at this mill, this plant up on the hill, lead, zinc, and silver smelter and refiner. Hard-working guys. You know, maybe if the ladies, a lot of the ladies never worked, just the guys worked. And if the ladies worked, you know, they worked in a secretarial or that type of employment. But something that I found really unique in the guys and the gals and the families in the church, almost every single family, in fact, I would say every family had a house, had a garden. And so I grew up, and my dad made me and my brothers, you know, dig up the dirt, the clay in Tennessee, and we had to take the clay out and put dirt and cow manure in there to cause the vegetables or the rose bushes that my dad liked to grow. And we were, come on, that was back in the days of child labor. Come on, somebody in the room know what I'm talking about? Child labor. Every Saturday, labor. Come on, working every Saturday. Digging ditches, you know, putting cow manure in. Anyway, and so when we went to Canada, we fell right in with the culture that when we bought a house, there was a plot of ground that was overrun, and we dug it up and rototilled it, and I put cow manure on it and fertilized it. And so we started doing what everybody else was doing. And we started having a garden. In summertime, like right now, you might not understand this, but you know where we lived in British Columbia, that's right above the state of Washington. We lived right above the city of Spokane, Washington. That's in the central, kind of eastern central part of British Columbia. It gets hot in the summer. I mean real hot. We had about 3 or 4 weeks in the summertime, at least 3 weeks, that would get over 100 degrees. I mean, hot, hot. You know, we had a lot of snow in the winter, a lot of rain in the spring and the fall, but in the summertime, it got hot. But what I realized when we planted this garden was that the greatest growth that happened in the garden was in the hottest months or the hottest weeks. That you would actually watch. We had tomatoes and we had potatoes and we had green beans and we had corn and we had squash and we had cucumbers and we had strawberries. And when it got hot like it is right now, how many know it's hot out there? How many know it's a little bit hot in here? Mm-hmm. What's out there has gotten on in here? that in the hot summer weeks and really that period, the vegetable garden grew astronomically as long as one thing was hooked up to that garden, and that's called water. Water. We didn't have underground sprinklers. I didn't in my yard. I had this thing called a hose and a sprinkler. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Remember those days? And so like in our yard, we would actually have to go out and you'd move the hose and you'd put the sprinkler down. It's one of those kind of guys that went in the circular thing. And then you had to get out there and move it again. Come on. You remember those days? Or maybe that's in your house right now. And so I saw something amazing. That in the morning, I would set up my sprinkler and it would fan out. And then in the evening, before we went to bed, I'd set it out again for a certain time. So I'd water in the morning and the evening. And every place that the water saturated the ground, saturated the vegetable garden, we had amazing growth. But if there was ever a place that didn't have water, you could see immediately a browning and a no growth. The Bible says something really amazing. The Bible says and talks about, look on the screen, when you plant seed, it's called the first time you hear the Word of God. The first time you hear the Word of God, the Bible calls that planting seed. You hear it for the first time that God loves you. God wants you saved. God's got a plan for your life. Whatever it is, in whatever area of the life of your life where you hear the Word for the first time, it's planting the seed. That we know from the Word of God that in the seed that's planted has the power to reproduce whatever is in the DNA of the seed. Whatever's there. You plant salvation seed in your heart, salvation and all the benefits will grow. If you have forgiveness seed, no matter who comes against you, the forgiveness seed in your life will grow and it will react to somebody in love and forgiveness and not react in bitterness and negativity and cursing or damning them. Whatever you plant in your life will grow the first time. It's a planting process. But also we know from the Word of God that the Bible talks about the watering process. The watering process is where you continually hear the Word, you meditate the Word, that you read the same Word that you've already read. This is where I think most people as believers stumble. I think that we approach the Word of God, most believers, now I don't know if you're in the room or not, but I'm just saying a general statement. Most believers, I believe, read the Word, and while they're reading the Word, somehow in their soul, their mind, we say, I've read that before. I've read that before. And we don't allow the watering process of the Word to replenish the seed, grow the seed, saturate the seed, so that we can keep producing fruit with the same seed that produced fruit before. If you shut off the water, if you shut off hearing and keeping on hearing the Word of God, you will shut off the force of faith from working in your life, moving in your life, because the Bible says faith comes from, fill in the blank, hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes. It comes. It comes. There's a planting in our heart, but then we must continually be open to the watering process of the Word. The watering process. I just want to implore you not to shut off the water of the Word in your life. The Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth, he says this, I planted the seed in you, another watered, but God gave the increase. Come on, somebody say, God gave the increase. So from this, we can see really clearly there's not going to be an increase unless there's a continual hearing of the Word of God that you've already heard. There will not be any increase unless there's a continual hearing of the Word that you've already heard. And I ask myself, why is that? And the answer is just simply because we all forget. We all forget. Through pressure, through pain, through circumstances, through time, through things that go on in our life, it is so easy to forget what the Word says. It's so easy to reach for something natural instead of reaching for something supernatural. It's so easy to rely, and I'm not saying this negatively though, rely on what a friend believes rather than rely on what God believes. Let me encourage you. Keep hearing the Word of God. Keep watering the seed that you've heard, because the Bible says that seed, let me say it this way, you haven't reached optimum full percentage of the reproductive power in that seed yet. You just haven't reached it. There's more that God wants you to grow. I've been challenged in my own life about just growing personally, and not just to work on what I'm good at and keep getting better at it, but to work on what I think are deficiencies. And I hope you're at the place in your life where you say, I haven't arrived yet, that there are some deficiencies in me. Oh, I know grace abounds towards you, and I know God sees you complete and whole, and we believe all that. But I mean, where you shine the spotlight of the Word of God in your own life, the mirror of the Word, and say, I need to work on some stuff right here. I need to take the Word of God and work on some stuff in my life. I'm quick-tempered. I got a sharp tongue. I'm sarcastic. I tear people down instead of build people up. I'm full of lust. I'm greedy. I'm a liar. Really, I shade the truth to make me look better, make myself feel better, because I don't really feel good about where I'm at and my job and wherever I'm at in life. Wherever you're at, I'm here to tell you, if you would allow the Word of God to work in your life, and you would allow the watering process of the Word to work in your life, you, in the heat of summer, will start experiencing supernatural growth. Supernatural growth. You all know I talk about it kind of regularly. My thing now, I cycle. I mean, that's just kind of what I'm into right now. On the road, cycling. So yesterday, a bunch of guys, we rode from Bonita up to Oceanside, 102 miles. Whew, 102. Let me tell you what, it was hot as yesterday. It was hot. Let me tell you. We're on the road, and if it wasn't for friends that you're riding with, come on, thank God for friends, amen? Because if it wasn't for some friends that you're with that are kind of saying, hey, let's go, we can make it, we got to get home, I was about ready to say, call Kimberly, just get her, bring the truck, come pick me up, come on. I'll wait for you over at the Dairy Queen, you know what I'm saying? I'll be at the Dairy Queen. But here's what I realized, even just doing stuff like some of you all do, exercise or whatever you're doing in school, if you don't push yourself through quit zones, you're never going to grow. Never going to grow. Never going to grow. Never going to develop. Never going to be who you want to be because you got quit in you. Got quit in you. My dad always told me and my three brothers, he said, if you sign up for the team, I don't care what happens. You are committed to play that whole season. Only one problem. When I was in seventh grade, I quit the basketball team when my dad was away out of town. I quit. And that quitting experience, let me tell you what, I still remember it to this day. Because I love playing basketball. Because white men can jump. I'm telling you. They can jump. I was going to be the next Larry Bird. But I just became Big Bird. So, God wants growth for your life. Look on the screen real quick. Growth is sustained change. Can you say that with me? Growth is sustained change. That's what it is. That's what it is. When you make a turn, you make a change, you move in a direction, and you just say, I'm not going back. I'm just not going back. I'm not moving back. I'm not quitting. I'm not stopping what God's got for my life. I refuse to grow weary. I'm not going to be complacent. I'm not going to be negative, critical, judgmental. I'm not going to disbelieve. I've turned my life towards God. I'm moving on in the purpose that God has for my life. And I demand that I grow and continually change from glory to glory, like the Bible says, strength to strength and faith to faith. If the power of the Word is working in me, God wants me to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and my fruit to remain and yours as well. That's the process we find in the Gospel of John. That's exactly what he wants. So no matter what's going on in your life, if you will allow the Word of God to impact your life, and you will keep taking the Word of God, which is the watering process, and read it and command your life to line up with it, you are going to see change. You are going to grow. I don't care how old you are, old dogs can learn new tricks. Can you say amen? I don't care if you're young, kind of going, ah, I got my life ahead of me. No, you need to change and set your course now if you're a young man or a young woman. And not mess around and not play around and not just go through life and one day all of a sudden get your life when you got all your stuff out of you. No, you need to make some decisions right now to say, I want to change. I want God working in my life. Let me tell you something about growth. It's not quick. It's not generic. It's not cookie cutter. You can't do what everybody else is doing. God's got a plan of growth for your life that you need to ask Him, what do you want me to do? It's something that grows just quick and overnight. You know what that's called? Steroids. But God's after growth is a process. God is a God of process. And if you don't like the process, you are going to get consistently frustrated. Let me share something with you. I think we have up for the screen. That whatever you're producing in your life right now is showing you the measure of your inner field. Whatever you're producing right now, is because that is what's going on in your life right now. That is the measure of your life right now. Anybody beside me play Little League when you were a kid? Anybody? Yeah. Just three of y'all? Come on, man. Wow. It was amazing kind of in our city right now. You know, Chula Vista won the Little League World Series several years ago, didn't they? Amazing, All-Stars. And then now Bonita's in the World Series. So Sweetwater, crazy, man. So we got some amazing baseball little kids around here, great coaches and stuff. I grew up playing Little League and liked it, had a good time. I wasn't real good at baseball, but I liked playing. And something that, you know, I saw when we were playing Little League, you had the Little League field and then you had the fence that was out there. The fence never moved. The fence was what do you call it? What kind of fence? You know, chain link fence. Thank you. Chain link fence. That's what the fence was. Now, know what I've seen on fields? Now they have a certain size field, and so they use maybe the same field for different age group Little League players or different age group, different categories. Maybe it's Babe Ruth. Maybe it's the seniors, you know, a little older kids. And so what they actually have is they put up this orange kind of plastic type fence, and they bring it in. In other words, they bring the home run, you know, to hit a home run, it's in further based on the age of the kids. So the little kids, you know, their bat speed and their strength, they can actually hit a home run. You know, if you're a 55-year-old man, you should be able to hit the pitch that the 9-year-old throws at you. You should be able to hit it over the 100-foot fence. Wouldn't you agree? You know, Petco Park, by the way, left field's about 340. So to hit it 100 feet, you should be able to do that. But if your inner life, you haven't grown, if your inner life, you haven't let the watering process work in your life, and your field now is diminished, and you are withdrawn on the inside, so the power of God, the Word of God, the increase of God can't be grown in your life, not because of God, but because you have stayed in a restricted field. How about today you say, I want my field to grow. I want to be used more by God. I read stuff in the Bible, and I kind of look at it kind of like cross-eyed going, you got to be kidding me. That happened? That could never happen for me. Then you got to ask yourself, you are playing in a Little League field. Amen. Come on, God wants you at Petco Park. Come on, somebody. God wants you to play Major League Baseball. He wants you in the big leagues. He wants you encouraged. He wants you growing. He wants you developing. So again, the Gospel of John talks to us about the growth process. It says here in the Gospel of John 15, you can read it, that Jesus is talking. He says, I want you to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and that your fruit remains. I want an ever-growing, increasing amount of fruit in your life. And the only way you're going to get it is, number one, the Word's planted, but number two, you keep hearing the Word. John 15:16 tells us that. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Your fruit needs to be remaining. All throughout that chapter, John 15, he tells us about fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Now, know what's interesting about this chapter too? It says something really alarming, guys. Jesus says, if you're not bearing fruit, you know what's going to happen? He's going to cut you off. And he says, if you're bearing fruit, you know what he's going to do too? He's going to prune you back. And the reason he's going to prune you back is so that you can bear more fruit. Years ago, when we lived in Canada, I told you a minute ago, there was a city about an hour and 45 minutes away from us over these mountains, the Selkirk Mountains. Beautiful area, great drive. You got over there, and I don't know what happened in the climate in that area, but they produced amazing apples. There was a certain kind of apple they produced there that was they were very known for, called a Spartan apple. They were real crispy and yet very juicy, and we bought them by the cases and made, you know, pies and all kind of stuff with them. Well, we were over there, you know, every time in the fall and when the, you know, apples were coming in. You talk to farmers and you look around their orchards and you look at some of the trees, and of course some of them were fully ripe and they were bearing fruit, but you looked at some parts of the orchard field and it looked like almost ghost tree, apple tree city. It was weird. They were all just these branches out, but there was no fruit on them. They were all pruned back. And I asked the farmers, you know, what's going on there? And they get to a certain point that they want to prune the tree back because the next year that tree is going to produce more fruit than these other trees. Something happens in your life when you read the Word and you say, I want that in my life. I need that in my life. Lord, work that in my life. And God begins working something in you and pruning, maybe removing, maybe showing you you've got negativity in your life. Maybe that you need to change this. You're not walking in love towards your spouse. Maybe you're quick-tempered. You need to work the Word in your life. God will prune you. Why? So you can bear more fruit. But if all of a sudden all we do is read the Word and read our favorite parts of the Word, you're completing Him. Woo! Jesus wants to bless you. Woo! Jesus wants to protect me. Glory to God! But we never read anything where our life can really grow. Change isn't growth. Change can be growth, but change doesn't guarantee growth. Meaning this, I've done a lot of things and started, and I've stopped. Anybody beside me? I changed, then I went back. I changed, then I went back. But if I'm going to experience growth, I need to change and stay changed. We've got in the church Matt Melton, who he's been in the Navy for years. And he actually, I think he's on a frigate. I think it's the name of the kind of a ship. I'm really derelict in my terms, so forgive me. But, you know, the boat's parked out over here, the ship. Sorry. The ship weighs hundreds of tons. But you know that ship can't go anywhere unless it gets unanchored. If it gets unchained from the dock, can't. Got all the power. Got all the ability. But unless it gets loosed from what it's held on to, it can't be fulfilled in the purpose of that ship. I just want to encourage you. We're going to come back again next week and really kind of get into this. And we didn't really kind of get into Word this morning. But I want to encourage you that you make up your mind this week. I make up my mind to grow. And whatever that means, I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to believe God again. I'm going to trust God again. I'm going to ask Him to work a work in me. I heard something. Pastor Kramer and I were at a meeting a couple months ago, and a man said something I never heard before. It might sound corny to you, but it just kind of went, wow, that's really amazing. This natural phrase, he said, swelling isn't growth. Swelling isn't growth. Meaning, you take a 2x4, you hit yourself on the arm, guess what your arm's going to do? It's going to swell. But guess what your arm's going to do? It's going to go back. It's going to go back. So nothing really changed. And so I think in our lives, so many times, we hear the Word of God or we get around maybe church services and we go, yeah! And that lasts about till we get out to our car. And then we go, whoo! We go back to normal. Can I encourage you that you keep your fire, that you stir up your life, that you press in with God, that this week you take the Word of God, that you spend time every day. Come on, make a commitment for that for the next 7 days. You read the Word of God. Read stuff. And water your life. And I guarantee, no matter if pressure, heat, summertime's out there, no matter what's going on in your life right now, you are going to see the power of God, the Word of God. You're going to start hearing things from the Spirit of God. You're going to start seeing things from God begin working in your life. Not just swelling, but you're going to start seeing sustained growth. Can you say amen? Commit to it. I believe God's going to help you. I believe God's going to help you. Not just to look at your life and say, I can never change, I can never grow, or I'm only going to do so much. Everybody in the room probably sometime you've done something exercise-wise, or so many in your room, you're trying to better yourself educationally, you take the night class and you just suck it up and you just do it, whether you feel like it or not. I know single moms in the room got some kids and going to night school while holding down a full-time job. You just make it work. Why? You want growth. You want change. And so you demand that of you. How about we demand stuff of us spiritually? I want to grow. I want to be used by God. I want something different in my life. I'm not just living for everything I see in this kingdom. I'm living for the kingdom of God. I want my baseball field home run line to move back. Amen. To move back. Come on, stand up. Let's pray today. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray for change in all of our lives. Pray, oh God, that the seed of the Word of God will work in us in just an amazing way. Lord God, we want to grow. We're hearing from You today just concerning communion, about Your death, Your life. We're believing You, Lord God, for what You have for us personally. We can move forward with the Word of God. Father, we just ask You to help us make first things first in our lives. So we fight off discouragement or negativity. We fight off the longing to just go back to a sedentary lifestyle, really not living for You. Help every person in the room today, Father. Just cross the bridge. Make it to the other side. Thank You for Your encouragement, Holy Spirit. You're the great encourager. You're the great hope giver. We thank You for sustained change in our lives. Now, today is a day, just by our decision, we're making some adjustments in our heart right now to grow more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. You agree with that? Just say amen today. Amen. Prayer partners, come on up here. Every day we give you an opportunity that we're here together to pray with a prayer partner. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. The way you begin a relationship with God, the Bible says is that you...